Professor Macaluso, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
To begin, tell us what kind of a role an interstate like I-70 plays in the Colorado supply chain and the national supply chain.
Sure. Overall, I-70 is part of the what we'll call the major lanes of traffic, east-west traffic in the United States. So interstates that folks are familiar with that end in zeros tend to be the highest commercial traffic carrier interstate highways. I-70 is probably in the top half. I-70 is what I'll call a mid-range carrier.
So I'm curious, when a supply chain disruption like this happens, what are the short-term and long-term impacts?
On the short term, it's an inconvenience, and it's usually measured in detour time. I've checked out the most viable alternatives for what we'll call heavy commercial traffic. We'll take about a four-hour detour out of what would traditionally be the pass, you know, through the 30-mile stretch that's now closed. A four-hour detour is inconvenient. It messes with scheduling. But in the short term, the folks that plan freight take that into account very quickly, and they look for alternatives very quickly. In the long term, or in the bigger picture, it's another complicator. It's another disruptor. And the way I like to describe it is, over the last 50 years or so, we've made the supply chains internationally, globally, domestically, more efficient, more capable, faster speeds. And the metaphor that I use is, picture, everybody's familiar with NASCAR, two cars going 200 miles an hour, where one car is following the other, you know, 3 inches apart going 200 miles an hour. That's the way that we've tried to design supply chains, so that they're nimble, they're able to adjust, and they're able to go very, very fast at a very, very low cost. The downside of that is it typically doesn't have a lot of buffer in it. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And so then when there's disruption, like I-70 closure, or globally, like a pandemic, or the Suez Canal, or a spike in a particular commodity market like lumber, these are all disruptors that cause the supply chain to create doubt amongst its constituents. And so naturally, just like the metaphor for the NASCAR, what you do when you're not sure what the car in front of you is going to do, you start to back up. You start to create space between you. Because just in case they do something you don't expect, you have to protect yourself. And so that space translates in this metaphor to time and money. And that's what folks have experienced in all kinds of commodities like computer chips and so forth. Now, on the micro basis, Palisade Peaches to the eastern half of the state, for example, will have what I'll call the inconvenience disruption. But in supply chain planning overall, folks will start doing speculation into the supply chain to protect their own company's interests. And that's usually where we get into longer delays and more significant and more complex problem solving in supply chains.
So Colorado has asked for $116 million in aid from the federal government to reopen I-70 through Glenwood Canyon. But Wednesday, the U.S. Department of Transportation awarded Colorado $11.6 million in quick release emergency relief funding. Did that quick release funding come as a surprise to you, or were you expecting that kind of aid to come to address this closure?
For the purposes of reopening the corridor, in what I'll call an emergency or temporary basis, that's probably commensurate with what you would expect. There's a long-term issue in the canyon. I'm not an engineer or familiar with the details, but there's a long-term issue there that road crews have been talking about for years. And that is a continually, either a mudslide, a rock slide, some other natural phenomena that closes that canyon. And the number of alternatives through that canyon, you know, we all experienced as Coloradoans, when I-70 was first built through there, there really weren't geographic options. There weren't a lot of geographic options that could carry interstate traffic. And so our options are limited. And so the short answer to your question is, yeah, that money is probably appropriate for the purposes of commerce and getting the highway open. I would just be concerned about the long-term implications of our alternatives through the canyon, as it's obviously suspect to all kinds of natural phenomena.
So it looks like a partial reopening, maybe days away opposed to weeks away. It looks like there could be a single lane open as early as this weekend. Do you expect something like a single lane reopening to have much of an impact on the supply chain woes these mudslides and the closure has caused?
Yeah, I would say if something like that occurred, I would call the inconvenience that we talked about earlier, the the inconvenience of going 4 hours out of your way would start to diminish. But the ripple effect in supply chain from a longer term perspective, along those stories that I was telling earlier, probably will remain for some time. Any number of commodities intrastate that have to go from the Western slope are impacted significantly. So anything that would open the canyon would be a big deal to the folks that are affected locally.
And I know some people are wondering if there should have been more of a defense in place to protect against this sort of supply chain disruption. What are your thoughts on those opinions?
I think there's a perception that supply should be available no matter what. And the thing that I would add to that is that comes at a price. Think of it as insurance, for example. So if you bet that you're going to have a disruption, it's one of those 3.7-year disruptions, you'd have to buffer with a certain amount of insurance. And then the question comes, would consumers be willing to pay for that insurance? And my answer to that, or what I've seen from most economic settings, is consumers, when given the option, will choose low cost and fast all the time. So they're unwilling to pay for that insurance. And that is at least one perception that I would add to the conversation is, when you ask for this security blanket, know that that comes at a cost. And historically, we've been unwilling to pay for it. So most likely, the supply chains of the future will be the ones that you saw pre-COVID, at least for, you know, probably a 6-year run there. Relatively fast, relatively high availability, relatively low cost, but not a lot of buffer.
So what can or should consumers or business owners do to defend themselves against the impacts of this kind of a supply chain disruption? Doing your research and seeing what you've seen in your work, what advice do you have for consumers as well as for business owners?
Yeah, let's take the business to business transactions and commerce and supply chain first. Two things. One, order the quantities that are required rather than hedging, doubling down, slowing. Order at the pace that you actually want to consume. That's one signal that at least propagates a true signal through the supply chain. And then second, if you haven't already done it, develop a way to have a transparent relationship with not only your transport carriers, but with your suppliers, so that you can be more proactive with them. You can get a state of the union with them and then collaborate better on how best to order and how best to move things. Those would be my two suggestions for business to business. And then on the consumer side, my suggestion is similar. Buy what you need. Try not to hoard. Try not to project into the supply chain. Order what you require at the time you require it. And second, you may need to be patient. And folks have asked me, you know, how long will it take before we see, quote, normalcy? Boy, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I would say if we can get some of these disruptions to calm down, you should see the supply chain normalize, I would expect, in 9 to 18 months.
So what other insight can you offer us about what's going on with the Colorado supply chain in general right now?
They're both very positive comments, and I'd make them that over the last 30, 40, 50 years, to our benefit and sometimes to our consternation, we've become a global trader. We've become a global supply chain user. That's created great scale. That's created great opportunity to buy goods and services at what we'll call relatively low inflationary prices. And we've seen that, you know, prior to this last spell, we've seen relatively low inflation in the market. And that's partly because of the international and global network of supply chains that have kept prices competitive. I would expect that as we start to create rhythm again, those supply chains will resume the rhythm and you'll see more normalcy in pricing and you'll see more normalcy in availability and lead times. I'm advocating acceleration of collaboration through the supply chain for businesses through digital means that are now available to us in this decade that were not available to us even 10 years ago. There are ways now to collaborate up and down the supply chain that I think spell even improved opportunity in the future for supply chains. As long as we're disconnected and not communicating and creating transparency, that's where these disruptions occur, and that's what causes everybody consternation. I think those are the issues we face. I think there's great opportunity ahead, so I don't know that there's any reason for panic. I would just continue to encourage folks to that are in business to create transparency up and down your supply chain, and for consumers to continue to buy at the levels that they require at the time.
And that was Professor Greg Macaluso, a professor of supply chain management, teaching supply chain management at the graduate level at the Leeds School of Business at the University of Colorado Boulder. Professor Macaluso, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Thanks so much for reaching out. I appreciate it.
For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.